Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Genesis and chapter 36. Genesis chapter 36. We are here in the history, where we are passing from the history of Isaac to the history of Jacob and the history of Jacob's children. The end of chapter 35, we have the account of how Isaac died and was buried by his sons Esau and Jacob. And so, Genesis chapter 36. Now this is the genealogy of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives from the daughters of Canaan. Ardah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. Aholbama, daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. Now Ardah bore Eliphaz to Esau, and Basemath bore Reuel, and Aholibama bore Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. Then Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the persons of his household, his cattle and all his animals, and all his goods which he had gained in the land of Canaan, and went to a country far away from the presence of his brother Jacob. For their possessions were too great for them to dwell together, and the land where they were strangers could not support them because of their livestock. So Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And this is the genealogy of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These were the names of Esau's sons. Eliphaz, the son of Ardah, the wife of Esau. And Reuel, the son of Basemath, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. Now Timnah was the concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son. And she bore Amalek to Eliphaz. These were the sons of Ardah, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizar. These were the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Aholibama, Esau's wife, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibeon. And she bore to Esau Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs of the sons of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, were chief Teman, chief Omar, chief Zepho, chief Kenaz, chief Korah, chief Gatam, and chief Amalek. These were the chiefs of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. They were the sons of Ardah. These were the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, chief Nahath, chief Zerah, chief Shammah, and chief Mizar. These were the chiefs of Reuel in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholibama, Esau's wife, chief Jeush, chief Jalam, and chief Korah. These were the chiefs who descended from Aholibama, Esau's wife, the daughter of Ammah. These were the sons of Esau, who is Edom. And these were their chiefs. These were the sons of Seir the Horite, who inhabited the land, Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anna, Dishon, Ezer, and Dishan. These were the chiefs of the Horites, the sons of Seir, in the land of Edom. And the sons of Lotan were Hori and Heaman. Lotan's sister was Timnah. These were the sons of Shobal, Alvan, Manahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. These were the sons of Zibeon, both Ajar and Anah. This was the Anah who found the water in the wilderness as he passed through the donkeys of his father Zibeon. These were the children of Anah, Dishon, and Aholibama, the daughter of Anah. These were the sons of Dishon, Hemdan, Eshban, Itharam, and Cheran. These were the sons of Ezer, Bilhan, Zavan, and Akan. These were the sons of Dishan, Uz, and Aram. These were the chiefs of the Horites, chief Lotan, chief Shobal, chief Zibeon, chief Anah, chief Dishon, chief Ezer, and chief Dishan. These were the chiefs of the Horites, according to their chiefs in the land of Seir. Now these were the kings who reigned in the land of Edom, before any king reigned over the land of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhaba. And when Bela died, Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his place. When Jobab died, Husham of the land of the Temanites reigned in his place. And when Husham died, Hadad, the son of Bedad, who attacked Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his place. And the name of his city was Abith. When Hadad died, Samla of Masrekah reigned in his place. And when Samla died, Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his place. When Saul died, Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his place. And when Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, Hadar reigned in his place. The name of his city was Pau. His wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. And these were the names of the chiefs of Esau, according to their families and their places, by their names: Chief Timnah, Chief Alvar, Chief Jephesh, Chief Aholibam, Chief Elam, Chief Pinon, Chief Kenaz, Chief Taman, Chief Mibzar, Chief Magdiel, and Chief Iram. These were the chiefs of Edom according to their dwelling places in the land of their possession. Esau was the father of the Edomites. We trust God's blessing on the reading of his holy word. Our text this evening is found in the chapter that we read, Genesis chapter 36 and verse 6. Then Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the persons of his household, his cattle, and all his animals, and all his goods, which he had gathered in the land of Canaan, and went to a country far away from the presence of his brother Jacob. Isaac had two sons. The eldest was Esau, and the younger was Jacob. They were twins. Esau was born first. And yet, the one who was the heir of the promises was the younger, Jacob. And we see that after the death of Isaac, his sons make this final great division. Jacob remains in the land, and Esau leaves the land. This chapter that we read, that is the account of what came from Esau, one of those genealogies, those lists of names that we encounter in the Old Testament again and again, and they are there for a reason. They are there because God's salvation involves this world and its history. We are not like those pagans who looked in all their accounts to myths that happened either in the divine realm or long ago in some other place. But rather, the Bible is history. These people are people who lived and who died. And the Bible is the account of, as Augustine of Hippo put it, these two cities. The city of man, which is Esau, and the city of God, which is Jacob. These two peoples. There is the seed of the promise, the people of God. And there are those who, like Esau, despise the promises and are of their father, the devil, and his works they do. And so we see, first of all, Esau as the one who despised the promises of God. Secondly, we see this division that must be between the two lines. And then we see the descendants. This is a chapter of a genealogy, and we see what we learn from the facts recorded here as to the descendants. First, we have Esau, who is described in the scriptures as a profane person who despised his birthright, despised God's dealings with his father and his father's line. This is laid out for us in Genesis 25, reading from verse 27. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him, and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The birthright deals with those spiritual things, the grace of God, the gift of God, of a nation that he himself would not inherit, but a land his descendants would. And he says, as this world does, "I cannot see these spiritual things. They are invisible things, but I can see this red stew." In the original, in Genesis 25, it's not even red stew, it's just this red. That red stuff, we would say. And he sees the red stew, he smells the red stew. He can taste the red stew. He cannot see the birthright. He cannot touch the birthright. He cannot eat the birthright. And so he casts away the one he cannot see for the other that he can see. Attached to it. That is all that he sees. And so he despised the birthright, and he despised the word of God. Rather than remaining separate from the people of the land, he took wives from the people of the land, and he took wives plural. And no good ever comes of that. And wives who were godless, who provoked his mother, and perhaps even were part of the cause of her going to an early grave. And so he leaves the land. He does not say, "This is the land that God gives to his people, therefore I will treasure it and love it and stay in it by all means." But he says, "What is this to me? What is this land? What is this place?" And he abandons it and goes his own way. A profane person, you see. Esau is, as our chapter says in verse 8, Esau is Edom. He was named Edom for the red stew incident. The word Edom means red. And he is the man who loves the red stuff. The man who loves the things of this world, that which can be touched and tasted. And that is everything to him, and nothing more. But you see, the things of this world, the things that are seen, are passing away. You look at
All that is in this world, and it is all passing away. Those things that once we knew, those buildings that were so familiar, are crumbling to rubble. Some have been pulled down. The rich and powerful of this world, they must go to the grave at last. Fashions change so swiftly that we cannot keep up with them. This world is all passing away. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So says the scripture. But a man like Esau, a profane person, a worldly man, he said, I cannot see this God you speak of. I cannot see the Holy Spirit. Now indeed, if he can see, if he had eyes to see the work of the Holy Spirit, if he had eyes to see, he would see this whole universe is the work of God. He says, I cannot see this God you speak of. He says, I cannot see the new heavens and new earth, for they do not exist yet. And therefore he despises them, even as Esau. But these things which are not seen are eternal. The rest of the saints, the life of God, these things never have an end. They go on forever. The things which are not seen are eternal. But they were the things that Esau despised. And so he cast them away, preferring to grasp that red stuff, that stew. But Jacob valued the things that Esau despised, rather give up his lunch than give up the promises of God. Rather go hungry than give up what God had offered. And so are the people of God given this vision that Christ gives his own of the new Jerusalem that is to come down out from God out of heaven. And thus endure as seeing the invisible. Thus it is that they can bear the spoiling of all things. To wander, to read the histories of the martyrs. How is it that men and women of all ranks and ages were able to go to death? Because they saw that which is invisible. And knew that the unseen things are the eternal things, and the seen things are the temporary things. And so we come next to the division. The root again here is spiritual. And the root is the election of God. Before the two sons had done anything at all, God said, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Because you see, by nature we are all like Esau. Dead in trespasses and sins, as the Bible puts it. Dead to God. Blind to God. Lord, I was blind, I could not see. In thy marred visage any grace, confesses the hymn writer. The things of God were nothing to us. And we walked by sight and not by faith. And what is it makes the difference between Jacob and Esau? Between the people of God, those who come to Christ, and those who don't. It is not that one is better than the other. It is not that the one possesses some secret spiritual sense the other does not. It is certainly not that one makes a better use of the things that God provides than the other. Notice this, it is the grace of God. Because you see, all are sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Before we come to think of election, we must think of the sinfulness of man. It is not that God bars any who desire to come to Christ from coming. It is rather that none would wish to come to Christ unless God first called them. No one can come to me, Jesus says, except the Father who has sent me draws him. There is none other. God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, the Apostle Paul goes on, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the Scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault, who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me thus? Does not the potter have some power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honour and another for dishonour? There's a metaphor that many in this city will understand. The potter takes the one lump of clay and makes different objects for different purposes, and it is the potter's prerogative to do what he likes with his clay. And God has the clay of sinful humanity, and of some he takes and he purifies and he makes holy and honourable for his own glory and service. And others he leaves in their state and makes of them vessels fitted for his wrath, that he may do what he likes with his own. For the wonder is not Esau I have hated, but Jacob I have loved. Two sinners, and God takes the one and redeems and purifies and cleanses and leaves the other in his sin. Who is it who makes the difference? It is God, and God alone. The division is made by God. And in this world indeed the wheat and the tares grow together, but the final division is inevitable. For you see, what defines the two is the different things that are loved. There is the love of God that is shed abroad in the hearts of his own by the Holy Spirit. And knowing his love, we love him in return. But then on the part of Esau, he cannot see God. The natural man cannot discern the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. He cannot understand. He cannot comprehend. And he loves the things of this world. Jacob loves the promises of God and the God of the promise. Esau loves red stew. The two cannot end up in the same place. The one is travelling to the kingdom, to the throne of God. The other is travelling to the only other place there is, to eternal perdition, to the eternal condemnation. It is against all those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. The division is here and now. But now the two are together, yet separate, different. But then there shall be that great division when the Lord divides the sheep from the goats, and the sheep are welcomed into everlasting habitations, everlasting joy. and the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. The sheep are welcome there. The goats are cast into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The division forever. There is that city of God, and then there is outside. So the division. And then the descendants. Now Esau had been given promises by God. While it was that, despite Isaac's attempt to give the blessing to Esau, he had failed and ended up giving them to Jacob. When Esau came to him, Genesis 27:39-40, then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. It shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." And God keeps his word. Whether his word given to those to whom he purposes eternal salvation, or his word given to those to whom he promises only things and blessings in this world, God keeps his word. And if he keeps his word to Esau, how much more will he keep his word to those who look not for the red stew, but for the eternal promises of God in Christ Jesus? How much more will he give to those of his people, all his people, who, because they see the invisible, are prepared and more than willing to wait? For to his people indeed, and of his people, these things are said. Luke 16, reading from the words of Abraham in the parable to the rich man. Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things." Remember, the rich man is in hell in torments. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things." And this is the way it is with everyone who, like Esau, despises the promises of God. They receive good things in this lifetime only. And likewise Lazarus, evil things. Lazarus is one who was a believer and trusted in God. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. And if God gives to those who despise his promises, who despise him, good things in this life, how much more will he give good things, himself and all in Christ, to his people in the world to come? And we saw also here that there are these kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the children of Israel. While Israel were a nation of nomads and later slaves in Egypt, strangers in a foreign land, there were kings reigning in Edom. The prosperity of the wicked. And yet you see the kingdoms of this world are wasting away. Earth's empires crumble and fall. Where, oh where, is the empire of Egypt? Where are the kings of Edom today? You go to Edom, to Petra, the capital of Edom in modern day Jordan, and what do you see among the red rocks but tombs and empty homes? A beautiful city, a glorious city, but a city that is dead. Where is the power of ancient Egypt? Where the empires of Babylon and Assyria? Of Nineveh and Tyre, where are the glories? This world's kingdoms melt away and pass, but the kingdom of God is eternal. The kingdom of Christ lasts forever. We are taught by our Lord to pray for its coming day by day. Oh, indeed, there's a sense in which the kingdom of God, the reign of God, is here now, whenever anybody confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. That every Christian is under that kingdom of heaven, that rule. But we do not yet see all things placed under him. But we shall. Even as Israel had to wait for the king, for King David, while kings reigned in Edom, so too the people of God in the world now wait for the coming of our King from heaven, great David's greater son, Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem of the line of David, who is now reigning and ruling in heaven, but whose reign and rule shall be known through all the universe, for to him every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we wait for the revelation of the kingdom, because if our inheritance is the eternal inheritance, we can afford to wait. Because these present afflictions, however heavy they may seem now, are light compared to eternity. Compared to that kingdom that has no end. So we see here this great divide. On the one hand you have the love of this world and its red stuff. On the other, the love of God. On the one hand, we have those who are for the self, and the other, those who look to Christ and his eternal salvation. This world or the next, the things that are seen or the things that are unseen. Your best life now or your best life hereafter, eternally. Kings who perish and the king who reigns forever, because he is alive and he was dead and is alive forevermore, and therefore his kingdom will have no end. We see the grace of God, the electing grace that calls sinners to come unto himself, who chooses sinners for eternal life. And we are called to believe upon this God and to look for this King who comes from heaven. Amen.